Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Straight Cheese, No Lettuce podcast show. I am your host, Mr. Matthew Newton. And just to let you know, happy Mother's Day out there to all the loving mothers, stepmothers, and people who fill the motherhood role. And with that being said, I have a very special guest with me right now. She is literally the reason I'm here. My own mother, Miss Vanetta Newton. How you doing, Mother?
I'm doing well, Matthew. How are you today?
Fine. You ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, this is a Mother's Day episode, so we're going to be talking about a little bit about you, but we're also going to talk about you as a mother. We're just going to be very nice about it. When you found out you was going to be a mom for the very first time, what was your reaction?
Kind of excited. Didn't know what to expect. And I was in the middle of going to school, so I didn't know just what to expect, period. And stuff.
Did you, was it planned, or you were just like, it was like, if any, when it happens the first time, it happens thing? So,
we weren't really planning because we both was in school at the time, but fine. Let me give you some back history. I had had a couple of miscarriages before I had the first child, which is Vincent. So, that was kind of dramatic. So when I did get pregnant with Vincent, I had to not work or not school or not anything because they wanted me off my feet a lot to not be doing anything. So it was kind of exciting, yet it was kind of nervous because of the previous history.
Oh. Well, okay. I did not know that part. Okay. when you got the news, it was anybody you called first? Well, dad, Auntie Sheila, grandma?
Well, you have to realize when I got pregnant with Vincent, you have to realize your aunties were young. You think about the age that Vincent is now. Vincent is 49. Mm-hmm. And so they was like 10, 12, 14, or something like that. So they were young. And so I told my your dad first, your husband, my husband. I told my parents. I think he told his parents. But we waited a while. I think I was almost like 3 months or 4 months pregnant because he wanted to see if I was not going to have another miscarriage.
And you had my brother Vincent, and then you had my sister.
Almost 3 years later.
3 years later, and then you had me.
Yeah. Now, you were the surprise child because I wasn't looking to have another child. We had two. So I was working, I was teaching school and all of that. So you were the surprise child. We're glad we have you.
I'm blessed. I'm
but you surprised, child. Yes.
Okay. surprised. A decade. Things
change. It's 10 years.
Mm-hmm. 10 years between me and my sister, 13 years between me and Vincent.
Right. So you grew up like an only child. Basically, almost.
Pretty much. So, with that being said, with the big time gap between me and my siblings, what were some things you learned when you was raising them that you was able to apply when I was born because of the gap?
Let me see. By them being, they was close together, so therefore they were able to have play together, do things together. A lot of the trips and things we went on, we did it because the two of them was close in age. Mm-hmm. So to do things, they went to church and participated in things at church because they was in the same age bracket. With you, it was a whole different thing because we had to almost like starting all over. You were a more talkative child, where the other two were on the quiet side. They could play silently together by themselves with no thing, but you was more of a talkative, busy child. So that was the difference.
You mean talkative, like what? We'll go up to people and start talking to people?
it wasn't a bad habit, but you would speak to people that you did not know. I could walk in the mall with you, and you would go through the mall, and we'd be holding hands, and you'd just speak, "Hello, how are you? Hey, this." You would do that kind of stuff. When we were shopping, just the two of us. Well, I remember vividly a lady came out the dressing room to ask her friend about the dress she had on. And they said, "Oh, yeah, it looked nice." And you told her, "No, it didn't." And stuff. And she told me, "Thank you for being honest about it." You would do stuff like that because you were young. I mean, you were really young and you were just honest. Mm-hmm. Whereas your sister and brother wouldn't ever have done that.
You think it was because I was by myself?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to flat out just tell you that I am blessed that you was my mother. I'm thankful for it. I probably was a headache and a backache too. But I am thankful that you, that I don't know if selected was the right word, but I'm glad you stayed. That I grew up with you as my mother, because I learned so much from you.
Well, thank you.
I tell this all the time. Sons learn how to be a... Well, this is going to be very poignant. I learned how to be a man through my dad, but you taught me how to be humble and be a person, a loving person through you. Because I watch how you interact with people and how people were to come to you. Like, you have a knack for doing the right thing and speaking your mind and being truthful to people, but in a way where it's coming from the heart.
No. Okay.
And I learned that, and I was like, I wish I had your way of words and your way of talking. Okay. But I am thankful for all the teachings you taught me.
Well, you're so welcome.
Oh, this is a special episode. I'm starting to choke up, people. Your occupation, you was a teacher.
Yes.
Not only from your experiences, from anyway, do you think occupation affects how mothers raise their kids, or in your experience, like when you were a teacher, did you change some things being a mom? Did it change your ways of teaching or being a mother?
I don't think whatever a mother's occupation is has anything to do with her raising her children. I think that it's loving their children and wanting their children and doing the best for their children. Now, my occupation was with children because I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. So by teaching school, I learned some things that not for my benefit, but what was going on with y'all, and the difference between the children that I taught. Because where we had books and magazines and things coming through the mail all the time, there were kids that was in my class that did not have books at their home or magazines or anything of that nature. And it was shocking to me because I was so used to, you know, going to the bookstore, buying books for you all, having the Highlight magazine or the Sesame Street magazines or whatever coming here to the house. So it was, to me, when I first started working and when I realized that students did not have that or have access to what my children had, it kind of humbled me a little bit because I just wanted them to have what you all had.
Is it... So did your maternal instincts always kick in when you see kids, or in that?
Well, yes, and no. You have to realize I taught first grade for years, so they were little people, and went downstairs. They had some they were older books, but they weren't toy books that our school had. That was not on inventory. And I asked the principal, could I give them to them? That was on their level, so they'll have books to read at home. Because if you don't read, then you can't go anywhere. You know, they needed to read. So that was one of the things I did.
Okay. And you talk about an influence on me. I still hear, or when I go on social media, I still hear and see stories about your former students mentioning you. Like, the story, is most recently, the man who got ordained as a pastor, and he mentioned, and you was his teacher.
I was his first grade teacher. I also went to, when he called me to tell me that he was doing his initial sermon, and asked me if I was available to come, and I did go at 3 o'clock. I did go to hear him do his initial sermon. I lost contact with him over the years because they went to, you know, they go to college, and I ran across him. I was out somewhere, and he told me that he was the pastor of this church. And I told him one day, I said, I'm coming to your church. He said, yes, ma'am. And so I looked it up and found him, and I went. And I intend to go back to visit him again. And in the meantime, when he became my Facebook friend to post the picture, some of my other students saw that he's friends with and want to be my friend as well. And they are also ministers. So I'm going to have to make it my business to also visit their churches soon.
Wow.
I mean, I have some. There are other students that do other things.
I know, but it just...
There are people that worked in a doctor's office that I've gone in, and there are students that are nurses that are there. I have gone to musical concerts, and there are students there, and they recognize me before I recognize them. So I see them everywhere. They just have to tell me what year, what school, because I did end up visiting all the schools in the Birmingham City system. Mm-hmm.
That's when you know you're doing a tremendous job. How's that? Even now, you haven't seen them in years, but they see you, they're like, Ms. Newton, it's so good to see you, and you see them accomplish. It's
good to know. It's good to know, but they have to tell me who they are, because I don't, you think about a child that was in first grade and now grown, they look different. I don't, like I told them, I've gotten older, but I don't look any different, except for age a little bit. I said, but your features have changed. You have grown taller, some of them a little thicker, but, you know, they have changed, so they have to tell me what year, what school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we have. You're the oldest of the sisters of my aunties too. So, was being an older sister helped you anyway? Being like a caretaker as a mother too.
Yes. Where I'm the oldest of five. It was five of us, and the two boys, my brothers, was in between me, then my two sisters.
Oh, okay.
So it's 9 years and 14 years between my sisters and I. And so they were younger. My mom worked. So we all, you know, I would leave, get off the bus and pick up Sheila from daycare and bring her home, because she went to daycare. And I'll pick her up, and everybody else would walk home and stuff. And I would start dinner, and we would start doing our chores and things before my mom got home from work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Grandma. I miss you. But you're looking at us from above. What's some lessons that she taught you? That you from watching her, from teaching her, like, oh, let me. This is something she taught me as.
I'm trying to think. I know between her and my grandmother, which is her mother, they always cooked. They always provided a meal. They made meals out of little or nothing. She worked. When she did start working, she worked. Even my grandmother worked. She sold Avon. She sold Avon for a while, so she had a little job.
Oh.
Yeah, she did, and stuff, but they put into their home. They always talked about family. If you notice, we always ate together at her house, but even before then, when I was growing up, we would go to my grandmother's house for all the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my, that's why I know all my cousins. That's why you know all of the cousins' cousins, on my side because it started with my grandmother. We would have not only holidays, but sometimes her siblings that lived in Birmingham area would get together at one of their homes, and we'd be all out in the backyard and stuff. So we all knew each other, the cousins and cousins and auntie, great auntie's cousins, I mean children, and they were our cousins. So we knew, you know, that's why we know most of the people in Birmingham that are related to us.
Trust me, it's...
It's a lot of people. And see, it's even double for y'all because you all are Newtons, and there are a lot of Newtons. So you have a lot of cousins.
And cousins' cousins.
And cousins' cousins.
Ooh. That... There are a lot of us right now.
So. It is.
But I'm happy to have them all. One big happy family.
Right.
Ugh. But not only you are a mother, you're also a grandmother. So what was that transition like when you found out that you heard the news like you're about to be a grandmother?
It was exciting. It was different. Because, what was it? We had 3 grandchildren in 6 months. Because one was born in September, and then the twins was born in February. So it was 6 months apart.
Yeah.
So I would keep them. They would come over, but they didn't come over as much as Morgan does now.
Yes.
So I was around them. They came for holidays. They came during spring break. They came summertime. They came for, like I said, all the holidays. And so we were together. If we had a cookout, we would bring them over. If we had family gatherings, we would try to take them to them so they would also know their family. They went to the family reunion. I didn't have as much input into their lives as I have the input I have into Morgan's life.
Okay.
Because they are around, but they weren't around as much. You know, we talk about things, and they went to church because when they only stayed here, that they got to church. They went to Bible school because they were here one summer, and we went to Bible school, so they wanted to go area, so we would pick them up and carry them for the Bible school area, but they not participate in church or those kind of activities because they weren't right there under my care. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that much influence. Mm-hmm. Wes Morgan loved things. Loved church. Loved children church.
Oh, yeah. She, every time I see her, she talks about it.
Yes.
I grew up in a religious household, as you did. How much was faith the influence in raising, as a mother raising kids?
It was very important. We don't know nothing else. I grew up in that environment. My mother grew up in that environment. Her mother grew up in that environment. So we always knew about church. We knew about God. We knew what we needed to do, how to treat people. That's how you learn how to treat people. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So we grew up, like you said, in church, participating in all kinds of activities, all the youth things, all the youth program, all the Christmas programs. So with you all, I did the same thing. I knew knowing God and who He is in your life is important. So you grew up that way, going to Sunday school, going to youth meetings, those who wanted to be in the choir, those who wanted to usher, being a part of that. And that was one of the things I really wanted to instill in the older grandchildren that I didn't have the opportunity. I talked about it to their parents, but it did not, you know, what you call it, did not get there. But they loved going when they were here with us. And see, like Morgan loves church. She loves to go to Sunday school and the youth things and her Bible study. So she enjoys it. She miss, you know, she gonna tell you it's time for us to go. So yes, I did. The other grandchildren went to Sunday school. Like I said, when they were here, they went to Sunday school, they went to church. They participated. And they enjoyed. They enjoyed being there. They enjoyed being around other kids, young people, and stuff. And I wish they had, were here to have more, we had more of an influence on them about church and God and their faith and believing.
That's very, I could tell from the way you delivered that it's important. I believe it is too.
It's just important. Just like it's important to me that my sons go back to church.
I want to.
Find you one. It doesn't matter.
It, to me, it does.
Just, I mean, not to the fact that you don't have to be back at your home church. Find one that suits what you're looking for. You're searching for. That's what I'm saying. And attend, but you won't know until you get out there and start visiting. You have to visit places and see if it's a fit for you. Visit.
If it's some, well,
but no excuses.
There is no excuse. I know that I need what I need to do.
Okay.
I'm just not there yet. Now that your kids are grown, and pretty much your grandchildren is grown, I know you probably want. I know you don't be on social media a lot. I know you really don't care about none of that stuff. But what is in your opinion? What is going on with these mothers nowadays? Did you hear about them complaining about raising their kids now? Like, you can't. I don't be on social media like I used to anymore, but.
Well, I don't want to give my opinion because of how people are raising their children. Because that's just what they do. What I look for in a parent and what's going on now is not what's going on. It's just different. And I think if children, parents were in church and teaching their children behavior and stuff, we wouldn't have so many other problems that we're having now. But, you know, I can only speak to people that I have influence over or have some connection to. And if there's family members that I see that I think ought to be doing something different with their children, and I will say something to them. And people that, other people, young people that I know, like I hear people say, oh, he's so bad or she's so bad. I said, don't say that. They're not bad. They're curious. Okay. They may be a little mischievous because they're busy. I said, but they're not bad. You have to channel that energy into something else. Like sitting in church. If you bring a little child to church, he's not used to sitting still in church because he'd be at home and he's always moving. And when they go to daycare, according to what age bracket group they're in, they're not sitting still all the time. They're sitting at the table for a while, then they'll move and do something else. So you have to think about that when they're in church. If the church doesn't have a children's church atmosphere where the child is allowed to move and you've got them upstairs with you in the service, then you have to bring something to hold their attention because they want to walk and move because they're not going to, kids' attention span is not but 10 minutes. When I only have 15 minutes, and then they're restless, so they're used to moving, so they have to be taught to sit still in church, taught to do things. So you can't just expect it and then want to hit them and paddle them and spank them because they will not be still on Sunday when they're not still Monday through Saturday. That's why I think all churches ought to have some kind of children's church and nursery for the kids so they can learn how to sit through a certain part and get up and move a certain part. And by the time they're old enough to your age break off, your age gap, your age cutoff for them to come upstairs, then they'll be ready to sit in service. But you got to train them first. You just can't expect a little child that's 2 and 3 years old that's used to walking around all day to come to church and be still. That's unrealistic. It really is.
Very unrealistic. Point taken. Do I ever tell you about, well, you've met most of my friends, but did I ever tell you about one of my friends? His name is, I told you about Jeff and stuff. Like, this is a real story that he came down to visit you. Because he was always wanted to meet you.
Yes, I remember Jeff.
That's when I realized about you, that's how influential you were in my life and around my friends. Because they'll act a certain way, not disorderly, but they'll act like maybe goofing around. But the minute they found, like, Mama, Miss Newton's coming, they snap and, like, they stand at attention, like, ready to, like, we ain't gonna do nothing. I cannot tell you how many times I would bring my friends over. The first thing they say is, where's Mrs. Newton? Oh, she's upstairs in the couch. They stop everything else and they introduce themselves. And they said, okay, now we can do something. They do not want to upset you. Well, just because, but...
Yeah, your friends are never upset me. I enjoy them. They are everyone that has been at my house has been very respectful. Even the students that you brought from Alabama State when you was at school that had came to visit, even the ones that Vincent brought here from Alabama State have always been very respectful. So,
yeah.
Jeff is just a funny person.
Hi, Jeff.
He tickled me. So.
He wants to come. Speaking of, he wants to come back down someday.
He's welcome to come anytime.
I would talk to him one day and say, "Hey, how you doing?" He's like, "I'm fine. How's your mom and dad?" I was like, "I'm okay. My parents okay, but I'm okay too." He's like, "Oh, I know you're okay. But how's your mom and dad doing?" I'm like,
"Well, I'm glad your friends like being around us."
So much so the fact that one of my friends who was on this show. Way early in the younger days, Darren, he literally calls you from time to time. He'll call you like his other mother.
I know. Darren has been in my life for a long time. Think about it.
Yeah, me and him are friends for nearly over 30 years, so he...
Right. Close to it, anyway, yeah.
Him and Jared and everyone else, it's like...
But Darren has been around... Jerry has been around, but Darren has been around more. Because he used to come over here and walk over here and all that stuff. So he's been around more.
And how many times did you get annoyed that he walks? I'm like, when you
come... Yeah, that's a distance from his house to our house. And yes, I would get it, especially when it was hot outside, when it was really hot. Yeah, I would be upset with him for walking over here.
Could there be times you be coming home from choir rehearsal or hanging out with Dad somewhere and you'll come in? Hi, Mom. Oh, hi, Matt. Hi, Miss Newton. Darren, when'd you get here? I walked. You walked? And he's like... And Darren sometimes be like, I think she's a little bit mad. I think so, too. And yeah, if you listen to the old episodes, he did come... He will try to get here early enough. I say, my mom's gone, and he'll try to walk over here, and he will come over here with a towel, a rag, some soap, and clothes, and he will take a shower, and then he will try to try his best to say, oh, Matt come and got me. He'd be like, then why there's steam on the mirror?
Yes.
But it's... You are a barrel of laughs, mother. And all my friends, no matter how many times they came over here, no matter what we're doing, be like, how's your mom and how's your dad doing? Like, they'll ask that question before they ask how I'm doing. And like, when I call Darren, hey, Darren, what's up? Hey, how's your mama? She's fine. I'm here. I'm doing great.
Yeah, I need to talk to Darren. I have to give him a call.
Yeah, and it's weird, too. That the fact that he's a parent.
Yes, it is.
And he's...
has three children. Just think about that. You and Darren the same age. And he has three kids.
He's mature enough to raise them.
He is.
And he's... maybe one day I'll have one.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm not in the dating mood right now. But, you know, I'm just happy being me.
All right, then.
Because I don't want to bring a kid into this world and be like, say the word, I regret having you. That's why I'm thankful still. I repeat myself, but I'm going to keep saying it. I'm thankful for the parents that I was blessed with. Because I have grew up, and I know, like you say, in your classroom, you've heard, maybe not heard, but you can probably tell, like, that kid's neglected. And it's...
you can.
Yes. And it's a scary world, even now today. I don't have the words because I'm not a parent, so I don't know how.
But a lot of parents, young people don't have a support system. In our group, in our family, there's a support system. In other words, what I'm saying, there's somebody to support you, to help you. If you had a child, there's not only just your parents, but there's aunties and uncles and stuff that would support.
Yeah. That was actually my next question. I was going to ask you, what are some advice or tips you can give to new mothers?
New mothers. I don't.
Like they just found out they're pregnant. Like, I'm gonna be a mom. What should they start?
The first thing is to start as a doctor's office and get prenatal care. It's the first thing, so they have a healthy child.
Okay.
And then from there, if they have a support, usually if when people have a support system, and I mean by support, it don't always have to be their parents, or it could be aunties or best friends or whatever. They got a support system. Somebody's there when they need them or when they don't need them, but when they need them, and somebody that could step in when they need help, give them any kind of support. I think that helps a lot. And stuff and things. So when you get, and then when your children, and then when they go to school, you need to support the children and not have, I think, an attitude toward the teacher about these things your child may or may not have done, but work with them because the teacher's an adult as well, and she's most time got 25 children or so in a classroom, and you know your child may or may not be doing something, but whatever the situation is, you need to sit down and talk and figure out what it is that needs to be done to help your child. And not come to the school with an attitude.
True. I mean, I understand that, but I know you can relate to that, well, in some ways, because when a parent comes, like, my kid's like this, and be like, as a teacher, you'd be like, well, I see this, but does it kick in your head? It's like, I can understand where she's coming from. Not like she's like my kid's like when you probably send a report saying the fact the kid's misbehaving. And the parent comes to school, and she said, or the parent, or mother, or parents basically said that, my kid's not disrespectful, he or she are, you know, because I raised him, right? And you know that he will say, as a teacher, I see what I see, but as a mother, it kicks, like, I can understand you defending your kid. Like, did that...
Yeah. Yes, I could tell them that I could see that you being a parent, you're trying to defend your child. But the behavior that your child exhibited in the classroom is different from the behavior that he's exhibiting at home. 9 times out of 10, they're exhibiting the same behavior at home. Most likely that the parent just does not accept it. But if not, then you have to try to talk to them to let them know the behavior that is being exhibited at school. Now, if he's picking up on somebody else's behavior, or he thinks this child has gotten away with something that he thinks he ought to be able to get away with, and then they start acting out, you know, never can tell. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I might as well ask, is that why I changed schools?
No. Tell me from when you went to elementary school first. No, it was just that it was easier for me to take you with me to elementary school with me.
Okay.
And then I moved you to the neighborhood school so you could get to know the neighborhood kids. That's how you got to know Darren. Because, see, if you didn't go to the neighborhood school, you would have never met Darren.
That's true.
True. Yeah. I carried you for the first couple of years, and then I said, let me move him until he's old enough that he could go to the neighborhood school. I can drop him off at early morning care. That's before you start. And then, you know, you can stay there after school care till I pick you up. And you would get to know the children in your neighborhood. Hmm. Because going to Norwood, you would not, you don't know the next children in the neighborhood.
I get to go to school, and my mom's right there, so she's like right down this, like, because I remember, because I had Miss Bell, Miss Bean, and her classroom is out her classroom, take a left and take a right.
Go up the stairs,
take a right, and your classroom is like right there by the door to the entrance. I'm like, there she is. I'm like, I never understood why I transferred. I'm glad I transferred.
To get to know the kids, the children in the neighborhood.
Okay. But it all worked out at the end. That's to say. Yeah. So that's all the topics I have, or the questions I had written down, because when I made a decision to do an interview with you or a talking discussion with you, I was like, what can I ask? And it's like, it's my mom, but I don't know what to ask. I would say this has been the most eye-opening and exhilarating episode I've been a part of. And I'm thankful, but yeah. I have a little thing here. Well, I usually do a restaurant theme thing. I'm behind the scenes, folks. I usually do a restaurant theme thing called Just Desserts, where we do a little bit more in depth thing as we end this conversation, and pretty much it's two parts. There's a this or that, and the second part is fill in the blank. So the first part is you choose between option A and option B, and it's just five questions. So
okay.
It may be about motherhood, it may be about you, maybe just something random, but I just want to keep you on your toes.
Okay.
First this or that question. Who has better chicken, KFC or Popeyes?
I like Popeyes chicken better. It's just me. I just like Popeyes chicken. But I mean, I could cook my own, but I choose Popeyes.
Oh, you know. I like the self promotion. I like that.
Okay.
Which activity would you rather do? Would you rather be singing or dancing?
I like singing. I like singing better. I'm learning how to do the New Line dances because of the classes I'm in with the senior citizens. But I like singing better.
Okay. We should get you on The Voice or America's Got Talent.
No, thank you.
Would you consider yourself a morning person or a night person?
Night. I prefer any time after 12. Especially since I have retired. I get up in the mornings and I go where I need to go in the mornings, but I prefer afternoon and evenings.
Okay. Now, this one's going to be situation. It's a situation thing.
Okay.
Front row seat concert, free and backstage passes. Aretha Franklin or Patti LaBelle?
Ooh. I would do both. But I got to make a choice. I'll do both. I like them both. I've seen Patti LaBelle. Let me see. Have I seen a Aretha Franklin perform before she died? I've seen Patti LaBelle a couple of times, I know, in person. But I never do front row seats in no concert. Not on the floor. I always do the sides.
Oh.
Yes.
Just can't
because just... people stand up a lot. And if you're on the side, sometimes they'll stand up on the side, but then sometimes they'll be seated more than they are on the floor. Yes.
Okay. So you're saying Aretha Franklin?
I'm saying Patti LaBelle.
Ooh.
I've seen Patti a couple of times, so, and I never seen Aretha that I know of. Can't remember, Chad. But I've seen Patti LaBelle a couple of times.
Yeah, I can. Okay. I kind of...
What else?
This last, this or that. Summer or winter?
Summer. I'm not a winter person. I like the spring and summer and fall. Forget winter. But now, so.
I'm more of a, ironically, I'm a polar opposite. I'm a winter person.
And yes.
I love winter. I can't stand the summer. I do not like heat.
I can stay cool. Trying to stay warm is a thing. Yeah. Mm. So winter is not it.
Fall, I can tell. I can tolerate fall. Spring and summer, I just like. I guess because of allergies, I can't stand spring. Allergies makes me like. Mm-hmm. I'm out for the count on most days. Especially in April and May. Don't invite me anywhere outside. I am not going anywhere outside. Okay. And here's fill in the blanks.
Okay.
My favorite music genre is.
My favorite music genre is gospel. Most likely. I like gospel music.
Okay. Take R&B off.
I like a bit too, but I like gospel.
Okay. What would you consider your favorite hobby? Your favorite hobby is what?
I don't know. I used to have I used to sew. Sewing was a hobby of mine because I used to sew, make dresses and stuff for Adrian and myself years ago. So that was used to be a hobby. I used to read a lot. That used to be a hobby. I don't read as much. So, I don't know. I play a lot of games on my computer and my tablet a lot.
My mom's a gamer, folks.
and things, but I don't really have a hobby mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, okay. We'll just leave that as variety. Ooh. The next two questions are kind of the same, but as a teacher, what was your favorite thing to teach?
For first grade, it was basically science. Well, all reading is in all of it, but science, because we used to make, go outside and get the leaves and bring them in and put them between wax paper and crayon and iron them and then have it on the leaves. You do a lot of science stuff. Mm-hmm. During butterfly season, we would make butterflies and plant flowers and stuff. And that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
In history, we did, always did Alabama. Like I said, I did first grade. So I made a booklet, the shape, every child had one, the shape of the state of Alabama. And inside it had, we had to talk about the state flower, the state song, tree, all of that. And they would make, you know, we had pages in it, so it would ask these questions and we would talk about those things. Also in the shape of the state, we would also talk about the mayor of the city
mm-hmm.
and the council people and how they, the governor and all of that. So that's how they got the Alabama history.
Okay.
So the history.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we won't switch it up on you, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
As a student, what was your favorite subject to learn?
Probably none.
Oh,
Really? I guess learning to read was the most important thing to do. I did reading, I did math.
Is that why I think that's why I inherited my instinct to write, wanted to write.
You need to complete your stuff, your books, and get them published or something.
I'll be on it, but I realize I'm starting to pick up reading too.
Yes. I used to have to read anyway.
I know, but it's starting to come back around now. Like I don't watch TV like I used to, and I still play games, but I pick up a book. Like I like going to Barnes and Nobles and like looking at books I want to pick up. I don't even have a specific. Reading when it comes to books, you have a type, like romance, novel.
I do a little bit of everything. I'm in a book club, so we do it all. Autobiographies, romance, murder mysteries. So we have a variety of books that we read. They like also to do the series of different people, which sometimes I get tired of. Break it up sometimes.
I like science fiction. I do read a little bit of autobiography. I'm actually reading Joe Biden's autobiography right now.
You need to get with Adrian and Matt and Morgan. They are doing a competition on book reading. They're supposed to read a certain kind of book and talk about it. It's not the same book. It's just...
How many books they can read in a
month? No, it's... You have to ask her about it. Mm. It's like... I think it's maybe science something or whatever, and then she has to read one, and Adrian has to read something on that level, not Morgan level, but on her level, and then they will pick something else.
Okay.
So yeah, so Morgan is an interesting little person.
Oh yes, I can't wait to have her on the show one day.
Yeah, that would be interesting, really interesting, and stuff.
So. Very last thing now.
Okay.
It's the last question I have on here, but
okay.
I know your favorite drink is, so watch this.
Okay.
If Pepsi was discontinued, what would be your go-to drink?
Water.
Really?
It would have to be water, because I don't know what else to drink. I'd probably drink a grape cola or something like that, or maybe an orange. I'm not going to drink a Coke, if that's what you're asking.
No, I didn't even think that. I didn't think water or grape or Coke. I'm thinking strawberry lemonade, but
yeah, that would be one too.
But what do you have again? It's crazy.
What?
The fact that I know you like Pepsi, but it's weird the fact that it's not weird that you don't like. I mean, you like Pepsi. I'm just like that. My sister is a very big
Coke drinker.
Yes, and I'm like okay, and you got. You got my brother who's big on Mountain Dew. You got me who's big on Sunkist. But I'll drink anything if I'm big on Sunkist. And you got Dad who drinks. He'll drink anything that's diet. But it just... It's weird. It's...
Yeah. It is.
I think one question I should ask is, how was it like raising us three people? Like
it was... because we really didn't have... Y'all really didn't drink a lot of sodas. Y'all had Kool-Aid.
Oh, boy.
We made Kool-Aid.
A lot.
A lot of Kool-Aid.
And I still remember that story of Mama... I mean, you're right here, Mama. I still remember the story of Angel saying the fact that one time we made Kool-Aid and I got this, like, 18-ounce glass and I filled it to the brim and walked right past y'all. You got on me about it. Like, put on that drink Kool-Aid, but you can't drink all that. Your little body be like,
yes.
And it's just like,
I know.
But I can think of so many stories about us, about this whole family, especially with just like, and you just in the middle of it, just like,
well.
My family.
And yes, I'm in the middle of it, and we have. That's why we always have dinners and eat together. So family with no family. That's why we always eat together, whether it's a holiday or not, whether it's Christmas pajama party or not, birthday parties that people announce that folks don't know they're having at their home. We still have things, don't we?
Oh yes.
So, yeah.
That is one tradition that I hope never goes away.
What? Eating together?
Yeah. It should be for everybody. But
it should be.
But a lot at least once a month at most.
Right. But a lot of people don't do that. And I've seen people say when the grandmother died, the family meals stopped. But ours didn't stop when your grandmother died. Ours didn't stop when my grandmother died because we still ate together. Mm-hmm. We don't get together a lot, but the families eat together. It started, you know, like my mom and her sisters and stuff would all get together and eat together, you know, every now and then. My mama had some friends like Miss Crawford and the Fosters and their children that grew up in the neighborhood with us. We would eat together. Their families, those five families would get together with their children. So that's how I knew Miss Crawford and stuff. So we always ate together. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Every now and then they would do hot dogs and stuff in one of somebody's backyard, and we would all be together. And so my grandmother just really pushed that eating together. Even with her siblings that lived in Birmingham, and their children would come over, and we would eat together. They would cook out hot dogs and hamburgers and just be out in the backyard, and we'd be playing. And Uncle William, who was my grandmother's brother, never had any children, but had the biggest backyard. And he would have everybody come up there, and he would just sit there and just watch the children run around and play. That's what he wanted. So we always had family. When family came to town, we got together, fixed food and ate, so you could get a chance to see them. You know, go to one house and they would fix food and everybody would come to that one house to see them. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's why a lot of people have family reunions. That way you get the chance to see not only the family in your city, but you get the chance to see family from all over if they participate. So, just like the Newtons, they all go down to Panola, Alabama, Sumter County, and that's where you see all of 500-600 people. And
how many you think are Newtons?
Where? At the family reunion?
No, just in Sumter County alone.
Huh?
Out of 500 people, you think?
They be Newtons. They be either they're married to Newtons. They're original Newtons. They're born Newtons. They're married to Newtons. They are cousins to Newtons. They are in-laws. They everything. So, you know, so most of them are. And stuff. So we need to, like I said, we need to work on ours to get it back started, back up the Patrick reunion going. And because it was fun doing those too. It's not a whole lot of them left that we know of. I think it's more. We just got to find them and start it back up again. Mm-hmm. Just like the Reese clan. We did the Reese, you know, we went to Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Reese family. Mm-hmm. So
it'll happen. It just takes one person
to start it back up, but it's a lot of work on one person. And but we'll get it started back up.
Now that I can't wait.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll do it for this episode, and I want to thank my guests one more time. Ms. Newton, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
And I usually say some weird outro, but since it's a special day, I'm going to be very honest. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers again, and to all the people who step up into the mother role, stepmothers and aunties and sisters who fill that role, and say thank you. And to, as my mother, as well as every other person who listens to this who has a mother or who knows of your mothers, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up right now, but thank you. we take y'all for granted, but we're so thankful for y'all. To each and every one of you mothers out there, thank you, thank you, thank you, and we appreciate you. Until next time.